All right, if you want to get in on these phone lines, man, you most definitely can. 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia Talk line there. We were kind of all over the place.
That was me. I was all over the place.
Well, I saw the headline on NBA Today when we were talking to the insiders, and it's just a... It's a funny headline seeing Trae Young's preferred destination is the Wizards. Something along those lines. And it's like, that is the equivalent of saying, you know, such and such player's preferred trade destination is the Sacramento Kings. You've never seen it. You've never seen it with the Kings. You've never seen it with the Wizards. Like, and there must be, I have to assume, there is a great deal of traction between the teams and perhaps the camp of Trae Young and a future in Washington that has led us from Minnesota and Brooklyn, you know, not that long ago, to all of a sudden, you know, strong Shams takes on Washington. Mm. So we'll see what that winds up looking like. But this could be an interesting trade destination. I mean, there was a lot written today, not just about Trae Young, but Anthony Davis as well, who we saw yesterday. I thought the Kings bigs did a pretty good job on Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about and I include Precious in that. You know, Max was good. Dylan, I think Max and Dylan had a combined 11 fouls between the two. I think Max fouled out and Dylan didn't. Mm-hmm. Dylan was on the floor at the end, right?
Yeah. Max fouled out with that the foul he had to take, mm-hmm, at the end. So, he fouled out.
So, 11 fouls between those two guys. But Anthony Davis, you know, no one really had a great night last night. Like, there was a lot of shots to get a minimal. No one was super efficient last night. But I thought the bigs did pretty good on Anthony Davis. But point being, Anthony Davis was in Sacramento. We talked to some insiders who are around Sacramento, and there was a lot written about AD this morning and how Rich Paul, they're eager to get out of Dallas and move on to somewhere else, whether that's Toronto, Atlanta, or some other team. Let's get to the Elk Grove Kia Talk line here, 916-909-1320. Two of our favorites on hold. We'll start with TC. TC, what's going on, baby?
Hey, what's up with my two brothers?
What's going on, TC? How you doing, big dog?
I'm all right, bro. Hey, listen, I'm good. So I'm not even really mad at that game. I told y'all, as far as the peace of mind I'm at, because every time I look at them games like last night, I think about that. I think about AJ and Caleb and those 2 second-round picks, bro. And I say, man, we in a good spot right now moving forward. I do disagree with Perry on the Trae Young situation, but hey, it is what it is. He got his thoughts on it. We ain't going to cry. I mean, it is what it is. But now these reports coming out with Zach LaVine, we've been known that, right? But if Zach, if you want to keep talking behind doors, bro, I told you before, big homie, I'm talking to Zach. We want to move on from you as bad as you want to move on. We didn't want you out here in the first place, big dog. But it happened that way, right? So we ain't even going to beat down that line. So the slick talking, you telling people behind closed doors that that's really you talking, right? Stop it. Stop it, bro. If we could, we'd send you back to your spot you want to be at where you grew up as a man in Chicago. Right? If we could, we'd make everything roses and peaches. If we could, big dog. But stop talking, please. That was a bad shot. Listen, by Russ and Schroeder, all three of them took bad shots. Also, I'm going out on this one. Bro, I'm out. I'm out on Darren, bro. I'm out on that dude. That's all I got.
Thanks, DC. Three fades. That was iconic.
Finish his call.
Yeah, he did. Did he say he was out on De'Aaron?
I don't know, man.
I don't know, man.
I just
know.
I'm playing the fade now.
TC, sometimes you sound like you want to fight these guys, man. Like, your tone of voice shifted when you started talking about Zach LaVine. And it was like you wanted to square up with Zach LaVine.
So, hey, dog. Hey,
hey, you want to talk behind closed doors?
I'm just saying, dog. Think this we didn't bro. Want you, dog. You can go back. Like, you can go.
If you're saying those things, by the way.
Yeah, we don't even know.
Zay said, oh, he's out on Darren Peterson.
Didn't Darren Peterson go off last night?
Maybe
did he go off last night?
I don't know.
I didn't get a chance to watch the game.
Maybe he said Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. I don't know, man. I thought the triple fade was comedy. Jesse was like, watch this. I'm going to fade this down. He's still going to be talking. There it is. He's back.
Oh, man, that was gold stuff. That was gold stuff. Yeah, Dan Peterson had 32-6 last night.
I imagine him with boxing gloves on during his call. He's the reason Kansas won. He couldn't have said Darren. It had to say something else. It couldn't have been Darren Peterson.
I think he likes AJ Caleb Wilson. That's his guy.
Oh, okay.
That's his guy. And he likes AJ, too.
He also, correct me if I'm wrong, he also said the Kings are in a good spot.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out. Hey, that's all right. Shout out to my brother, man. He's
more interested in them than the 49ers.
Yeah. It's facts.
I'm actually disappointed. I'm actually disappointed I did not hear that. Seems. What are they? What were they? 12 and 4. Four?
Coming off the game of the year. He said this on Monday.
That's not the right amount of games.
No, at the time they were.
Oh, at the time. Yeah. Right.
At the time, that Monday, coming off that game.
Yeah.
Man, be honest with you, I'm not even really that excited about them.
Oh.
I'm more interested in the Kings, to be honest with you. The Niners, it's going to be what it's going to be.
TC confirming he's out on the guy who led Kansas to a victory last night. All right. It's cool. Maybe Darren Peterson is the new Kyle Shanahan. Who knows? Let's see what Leezy talking about here. 916-909-1320. Leezus, what's up, baby?
Yo, D-Lo KC. Hey, it's kind of hard to follow up TC, man. He ready to swing on everybody. It's crazy.
Shout out. What up, Kenfolk?
Hey. What up, Kenfolk? Hey, stay locked in this week, KC. It's going down this weekend.
Where you at?
I'm talking about Philadelphia?
Man, you're not...
The Jalen defender.
Yeah, man. All right, man. All right, Leezy. You already... Look, it's Wednesday. And the more I look into this situation, we got a real shot.
It's okay. We're talking basketball today. We're going to wait on the football. You know, humble hearts by us Eagles fans. We just flying under the radar. Hey, guys, I just wanted to ask you guys a quick question. I want to stay on topic. I wanted to call in because I wanted to ask, do you guys think that aprons are hurting the NBA more than they're helping? Because it seems like with these aprons now, teams are more cautious about spending their money. And all of a sudden, all these players are getting, like, trash in the media. And kind of like even Draymond said, even if you're a team that drafts well, you're not going to be able to pay everybody. And that just got me thinking, do you think, like, these aprons are doing more bad than good? Because, like, look how Trae Young is getting trashed.
Yeah, I think it's too early to tell, in my opinion. Trae's a unique talking point because he's always had a bit of a I don't know if polarizing is like, is it love or hate? Like maybe it is. Like, so maybe his game has always been polarizing, but it's all like, I've never been a big Trae Young fan. I've always joked. I missed the college thing. Like I saw it. Like I I'm aware it's happening. I buckle in to watch the second half of that season. And if you remember the second half of Trae Young's season at Oklahoma, it wasn't what the first half was. There wasn't no 50-point barrages in the set. I was like, oh, okay, good score. We'll see what this, you know, we'll see what happens. I didn't buy Atlanta's run that they had a handful of years ago to the conference finals. Mm-hmm. I was willing to give them a shot. I was like, I'm not buying this as real and sustainable. And I think that has worked out to be true. I just also didn't think we'd get to the point where it's like, no, we don't know what his next contract looks like. Like, he could potentially get $100 million and some change less than we would have ever imagined. And I don't think he is the barometer that you use to judge whether the aprons are helping or hurting. Mm-hmm. One thing that I think is definitive, the aprons have changed things. They have absolutely changed conversations. Just because you can sign a player to a $300 million contract, just because that $300 million contract was something that the league put in place in hopes of players not changing teams, Just because you can do that doesn't mean that you're willing to do it anymore. The whole point was to create parity. And right now, I mean, look at last year's finals. It appears that it's working, but it's too early to tell. We just know that the first free agency period was dry.
Yeah, I think it's hurting.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, you want when we come back?
Yeah.
Yeah, got you.
More ahead. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Show would have sounded a lot different if KC was doing it from that abandoned bathroom in his house.
Would have had a shower going on in the background. You ever hear that famous clip of Rick Barry taking a shower during a show?
I never heard it, but I saw the KCRA clip.
What?
Yeah, when it wasn't an anchor, but it was a reporter was doing something, and her like husband was taking a shower, and it was on camera. It's like,
Oh man, I
think that was
this.
KCRA. I'm almost positive. I'm almost positive it was KCRA because I remember seeing one of the comments, which I thought was just incredible. Is that KCRA where the nudes happen? Oh, that's good work. That's good work. We're social media right there. Good work.
But yeah, now didn't happen in my house.
Okay. We were talking before the break. We were actually looking during the commercial break at some remarks that Kevin Love recently made about the aprons. It started with a call from TC, who was asking. I mean, a lot of this kind of centers around Trae Young. It started with a call in Anthony Davis, who we saw last night, and Anthony Davis's movements coming up here in the next few days or few weeks will certainly be interesting to follow. But Leezy asked if the aprons are doing more harm than good. Mm-hmm. I attempted to make the argument that we don't know yet. We know that we had a really dry free agency period. We know we're headed into the first trade deadline of this apron era, but you disagree.
Yeah, I think it's doing harm for a couple of different
already.
Reasons. Yep, for a couple of different reasons. Number one, the first thing that jumps out to me is, and I maybe do a little bit more figure out, but the players aren't getting the money. Mm-hmm. Like the players are not getting the money that they are accustomed to, and it's only for a select few. It's almost like to a certain degree. I want second day in a row. Not trying to get political, but like they're eliminating the middle class. Mm. It's either your SGA Lucas or Jordan Clarkson. That's what it feels like, right? And yeah,
which is why I think this Trae Young thing is going to be really interesting. Mm.
Trae Young,
he's not Jordan Clarkson,
right?
And it's clear he's not. I'm sorry. It's not clear. He's not getting SGA money from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Will he get it from Washington or wherever he winds up? I think is an interesting. It's going to be an interesting chapter to this very conversation we're having.
And I think Jason Jones said it when we were talking about this more than a year ago. It's just giving the owners an excuse not to spend money and compete. And I don't like it. I also don't like the aspect of, and Draymond hit this on the head too, but if you drafted these guys, you should be able to do what you want to do to keep that team together. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be held to the same regulations of a team that put a super team together through free agency and trades. Like the Warriors were the example. They drafted Draymond, Steph, Clay, throw another player in there, whether it's Kuminga or something. They drafted those guys. So they shouldn't be held to the apron the way the Nets were when they got Kyrie, KD, and Harden. Like, you developed those guys. You drafted them. Mm-hmm. You made those decisions to go out and pick those guys. You should be able to handle that. And now they're
so in defense of that, mm-hmm. Oklahoma City has. Mm-hmm. They paid SGA, they paid Chet, and they paid J Dub. All massive contracts. Max contracts. All three of them. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's all.
Oh, well,
they've been able to pay their guys. Now, none of the three contracts I just referenced have kicked in yet. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember who's kicks in first, but it's like, Isaiah's,
probably
Hartenstein's
SGA's
falls off the books, mm-hmm. right? They, like, it starts to become a thing where they always have cap money available. Now, they lose players along the way. You lose the Isaiah Hartenstein, who you were able to sign because those guys' max money hadn't kicked into place. You lose Alex Caruso, or you handcuff. You make decisions where you either lose them or you handcuff yourself in terms of, you know, what you're able to do moving forward. But right now, a team that is, you know, to go back to the Draymond Green, and we have said this repeatedly, and we'll say it again, and we'll say it every time. Draymond Green was 100% right mm-hmm. in his assessment about these aprons and their hindrances. But right now, the closest comparison to the Golden State Warriors and the way that they built their team is Oklahoma City. And they have been able to manage it up to this point. They've been able to manage keeping those guys under contract. Now, what happens when Hartenstein falls off and Alex Caruso falls off? How good is this team with the guys that they're able to bring in at whatever reduced price to take their place? That remains to be seen. Do you have to move on from one of those guys to continue being competitive? That remains to be seen. I mean, there's still a lot of this story to be untold, but there's still a lot of the story to be told, but that is a one of one. To your point and to Jason Jones's point a year and some change ago, there's a lot more teams who are willing to go, I don't want to spend that. We're not winning a championship. Let's not re-sign this player for this amount of money. Mm-hmm. So to that point, you started that by saying these players aren't getting their money. If the league is more competitive, if a player can't get their money from whatever team that they're with, but Sacramento has cap space and is willing to sign that player, and it helps their team moving forward, and now Scott Perry is closer to that sustainable winning thing, you've created that parity. Isn't that the ultimate goal of all of this for the NBA? Now, I know I sound like Kenny Caraway taking Jerry Jones' side because this is very much an ownership stance.
Well, I'm glad you finally see it.
This is less of an ownership stance and more of a league stance. But if your goal is parity, aren't you accomplishing that?
If that's your goal.
You're doing it at the expense
right.
of what the players are used to, but you have a league to run. Mm. And if that is your goal and you're accomplishing it, you have to feel good about that.
Maybe I'm cynical in this situation, but the goal of parity is what do they say? It's a result that happens. That's not the result you're going for, but that is what happens because of what you're really going for.
So what do you think they're going for?
They want to keep the money. They want the money. They always want the money. And if they don't have to spend as much money, then fine. If that results in parity, cool. Mm-hmm. But I think it's always about the money.
But how many executives, owners, or at least people in those circles have gone on the record with their names saying it's not the money that the aprons cause us to think about. It's the hindrances it's the way we have to execute every move we make in terms of basketball operations with can't sign vet minimum players. You can't be an apron team for a certain amount of years or you suddenly become SMU and you've got a death penalty. Like, you can't, like, I feel like we have heard, now maybe that's a lie, maybe it's a cop-out.
I think it's part of it, unintended results or something like that. Mm-hmm. Because even with the, I think this is with the aprons, right? It's not about the money, but it is, because if you go past that apron or you sign somebody or something, what's the Kelly Oubre, where his contract was $16 million or whatever, but it cost the Warriors $70
million? Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't, it doesn't allow you to team build the way you want to, but You also got to pay an extra $50 million because of this guy.
Yeah, but what that was, but didn't that create a situation that maybe wasn't, like, if you have, I'll use him as an example because he's the Kings owner. You have Vivek Ranadive, and Vivek Ranadive, we'll say the cap just to make this easy, is $200 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll pay $200 million. Well, we have a playoff team, Vivek, and Keegan's contract's coming up, and that contract is going to put us over the cap, and it's going to, you know, it's going to put us more, you know, in the first year we're going to pay some penalties, and we're going to be at 230, you know, and then by the second year we're going to be at 250, but you know, we can maneuver some things after that second year, but we're going to have to get to 250. As an owner, I'm asking, are we a playoff team? Like, are we competing at that point? Mm-hmm. Are we a first round? Are we fighting to get into the play-in? Or are we competing? Because I think most owners who will say, if we're competing, yeah, I'll pay the luxury tax, mm-hmm. and I'll start paying, you know, to a certain degree, I'll start paying the upwards end of that luxury tax. But if we're looking at a team that is the 8 seed, the 7 seed, we're looking at a team that's getting bounced in the first or second round. If you're looking at a team where you honestly go, okay, Sacramento Kings, they've built something here, but they're not better than Oklahoma City. They're not better than the Los Angeles Lakers. They're not better than the San Antonio Spurs. They're not better than team, you know, 4 and 5. And they're really in that 6-7 range where they're like 47-40-48 wins. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, I can't pay this. I can't pay Kelly Oubre. I can't pay the penalty of a $16 million contract for Kelly Oubre. I can't pay the penalty of $70 million. Joe Lacob, to his credit, was willing to do that because that team was competing for championships. Mm-hmm. And he stuck by his word where he said, as long as we're competing, I'm paying. The NBA said, forget it. We're not doing this anymore because Joe Lacob will pay. If
Ballmer
will do it. I was thinking of your boy, Dolan. Mm-hmm. If the Knicks that we saw last year mm-hmm. had been, you know, a handful of years ago, Dolan, what's it take? Mm-hmm. There would have been no Jalen Brunson pay. None of that would have happened. Pay it. We got to win a championship.
Right.
And we'll continue to pay. I think there are a lot of owners who would have continued to pay as long as they can. I don't think there are teams who are willing to pay that amount of money for middling.
Yeah, you're right.
Now I think what's happening is teams aren't like, you're not going to restrict what I'm doing for me to finish in the play-in. Mm-hmm. And now, to a great degree, what you're saying now and what Jason Jones said then is 100% accurate. I don't think it's forcing owners to be cheap. I think it's forcing them to be a lot more disciplined. And they're not throwing. There was a time where there was no question. A guy who scores 25 and averages 10 assists, a guy who leads the league in assists the year prior, there was never going to be any question that, and he's been on one team his entire career. There was never going to be a question that he was going to get a max contract with the team that he's on, that he wasn't going to get the contract that the NBA put in place for players like him to not leave the team that he's on.
Right.
Now, remember the league. You talk about the league players not getting the money that they're used to. Remember, the league, to try to solve this problem originally, threw more money at players. They made it advantageous for you to stay with the team that drafted you, mm-hmm. to stay with the team that you're on. You were able to get the extra year, the extra money, the extra all of this if you just didn't take your talent somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And the league said, I got an idea. Or excuse me, not the league, the players. Mm-hmm. The players said, no. Their agent said, oh, it's cute. Watch this. We're going to get that money, mm-hmm. and we're going to leave. We're going to show you how. And then you have, I always use him as, he's not the first example ever, but Anthony Davis in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You started a year and a half early.
Yeah.
I don't think he was traded at the trade deadline, but you started that conversation.
Kawhi kind of did that too.
At the trade deadline.
Kawhi kind of did that in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And the players got him, and the owners are like, they had to adjust to that to so they could be in control. That's why I say, like, I don't think they tripping off parity. They just want the control. They want the money and the control. And when they did that, when they're like, well, we can control keeping these players here or in their home place or whatever by giving them more money, and the players had that counter and were able to circumvent that, they're like, oh, nope, we got to get this control back again. Mm-hmm. We got to get this money back again. And if it results in seven different champions in 7 years, cool. But that's not why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. We're doing this because we want the control back. That's my belief. Now,
that's good. That could be very true. But to steal your line, that could be a, and I can't think of the phrase you're trying to use.
Unintended consequence.
There you go. Yeah, result. Great. That's I think what it is. Mm-hmm. It's, hey, we're, oh, hey, this is, oh, hmm. This is changing the way owners are spending money. Now, that does nothing for the league. To be clear, that does nothing for the league. Mm-hmm. Vivek, you know, owner A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, it does something for them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really do anything for the league.
Now let me ask you this. Everything that you said, which is spot on with what happens, do you think that's good? Do you think that's good for the league? For, we'll just use the Hawks, for example, to say, we're going to move on from our best player because he only gets us to the first round. We might not be as good. We might be in the same spot. We'll be cheaper, but we'll be in the same spot, and we got to go a different path that we're not sure. Like, we're going to spend 2 or 3 years trying to get a guy like this again, but him here only gets us to the first round, so we're going to tap out because it's not, it doesn't.
Is it good for who?
For the league, for the fans.
It's, well, the fans of the team, I'm not sure. Like, one, again,
I'd say fans of the team. Like, if the Kings, we'll use the Kings for example. If the Kings had a team that could get to the first round.
Oh, man. God, that would be amazing.
But that's all they could do. Like, you're looking at it, we're like, man, this team is a first round team. Like, we don't have enough to win a.
So
I'm not going to spend money for a first round team, but let's blow it up.
For how long?
Well, you don't know.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, when you're asking yourself that question,
yeah,
how long have you been a first round team?
Let's just say 4 years.
I don't know that I have a problem with it. Like, if you're if you're 4 years of being a first round team or a first round exit, and a player that's been on your roster for 9 years is coming up for a max contract extension, I'm okay asking the question. And there's more context to the Trae Young thing. That particular player gets hurt, and your team is playing really well. You've got young guys on your team that are actually really good, that are showing a lot of promise. Little concerns about injury and some other things there, but you have something there. Will you spend your time looking for another version of him or a better version of him or someone who complements this group better? I'm okay with that line of thinking. I'm not okay with, well, I'm out after a year or 2 years. Like, if we're talking rookie extension, multiple years of a first round exit, I'm okay asking that question.
So, and here's a maybe different scenario, or I phrased it wrong the first time potentially, but you're at the crossroads. You've been a first.
I'll see you at the crossroads.
You've been a first round exit for 3 years, and you're like, man,
it would be glorious.
Something's gotta change because of the aprons and everything that goes along with it. It feels like the decision would be, end it all, as opposed to let's try to get better. Like, you're at the crossroads, like, hey, if we go get this guy, we'll be a first apron team, but I think we could be better. I think we could be better.
But I
maybe,
think,
maybe not.
But I think they'll do that. I think teams will do that. Like, they'll, if you're telling me, this is the Toronto discussion. Toronto's a good basketball team. If Toronto's front office says, look, we know the difficulties of Anthony Davis, but if we acquire Anthony Davis right now in this year where, look, I watched Detroit. Why can't we be Detroit? Boston's on a run. Like, let's be honest. They're not going to be able to do damage until Jason Tatum gets back. Go ahead, rush him back this year. It's not going to work the way you guys think it is. And then we've got New York. We've got to be able to compete with New York, and we can't do it without Anthony Davis. If we get him, we can compete with those three teams. Mm. All right, we've got that. We've got 2 years to pull this off. If it works the way we think it do, if it works the way we think it can, we'll sign him and we'll get this all figured out, you know, down the road. If it doesn't, $50 million's gone. We keep moving. We take whatever our next step is. I think that discussion is real. I think a team looking to take that step up discussion is real, and I don't think they shy away from that. I think it's when you get to Chicago's in my mind, but that's probably a stupid example.
Let me give you an example of not doing it. Or if tell me if they did it or they didn't.
I mean, aren't the Warriors a good example? The Warriors made the move. Yeah, they made it with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, and Joe Lacob has shown that that's what he's going to do. Like, sure. He showed it before.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, that's what he's going to do. But the Timberwolves, after that first run, wasn't one of the reasons for the Cat Randall trade was like, we don't be the second apron team. We got to sign Naz Reid. We got to sign McDaniels. Like, we've got to get a contract. I think Randall's contract was shorter. And they're like, we can't keep Cat here because we're going to be a second apron.
Yeah.
And I believe, I could be wrong. Somebody could tell me if I'm wrong. But part of the reason of doing that Randall trade is he made a little less than Cat. Uh-huh. And
the years, I think.
The years, yeah. And they're like, we can't.
Did Julius wind up re-signing with them? Like, he's not on his original deal, right?
I thought he's still on the deal.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I could be wrong. I think it's on the deal. Here's another scenario I want to bring up.
That's an interesting. Okay, go ahead.
In 2 years, 27-28, if I'm reading this right.
Okay.
With OKC, they'll have Hartenstein will mm-hmm. be a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Dort will be a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Caruso's still there.
What's Caruso at in 2 years? It's 2 years, right?
Yeah, 27-28 season. He's making $21 million a year.
Okay.
With one more year that year and the following year. I still have to say, they'll be $19 million from the second apron.
Okay.
It looks like they'll probably need four or five players. Like, mm-hmm. this isn't with a full roster.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're keeping one of those three? You think they're looking to move one of those three?
Yeah. And like looking.
I think that's Kevin Love's point. They shouldn't have to make that decision with guys that they drafted.
I'm sorry.
My bad.
When you say one of the three,
three are
Chet.
Gone. So
you meant Hartenstein, Chet.
Yeah, Hartenstein's gone. Dort is gone. Those are unrestricted free agents. So those contracts
they're gone.
Caruso's still there.
Yeah.
The bulk of that being $19 million away from a second apron is those three guys. Do you think they're going to move one of them?
So this brings us all the way back to how this conversation started and how Leezy asking, that's the test.
Mm.
That to me right there is that's okay. What does this apron thing truly mean? Because let's say you said that's 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say OKC wins one title.
They didn't play the Spurs.
And they definitely didn't. Wemby got a cold for that series, and all of a sudden they got confidence.
Yeah,
probably. Let's say they win one title in the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. How does that influence their thinking?
Mm-hmm.
If they win two titles in the next 2 years, how does that influence their thinking? If they win no titles in the next 2 years, where do they get eliminated in the playoffs? How does that influence what they do? That, to me, is the biggest barometer. That is the biggest moment where you figure out whether this apron thing is a positive or a negative. Because if you're Sam Presti and you've done all this work and you've done all this cap gymnastics, you've done all of these different things, and you still can't sign. You didn't go get LeBron. You didn't go get Giannis. You didn't go get whatever unhappy Rich Paul Klein or unhappy superstar was. You didn't do any of that. You drafted flawlessly for a decade, and you couldn't keep your basketball team together. That's the conversation to me.
Yeah.
That's it.
In that year, too, I think they've got, doing some quick math, probably about $30 million in club options.
Okay.
On there, so that would give you almost $50 million before you get to the second apron.
Sure.
So maybe you could work with that too. But I'm with you. That's
and if that
point.
Title comes in the second year, you're probably looking at things like, hey, and again, you have to, there's so much like, you know, added context. What is Hartenstein look like in that like, nah, we need him here.
What some of your draft picks look like?
That I was just going to say, you've had 10 draft picks. If you're 10 first round draft picks, you're going to have a top 10 at worst draft pick this year. If you're the Oklahoma City Thunder, that's your next. That could be your your next guy.
Yep.
We could see things where you trade that type of player for strong role players to fill that gap.
Yep.
I don't know. It's a lot of mental gymnastics here. We'll talk with our man Jake Gaden. He joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Back here with our man Jake Gaden. CBS 13, my favorite station, by the way, for news. Just a great team with Jake Gaden, Brandon Benitez.
I stay
over
tapped
there.
Into 13.
Yeah,
that's how I was watching Stephen Colbert the other night.
There you go. Okay. All right, late night. We walked by that studio. It's a great studio. That's a true landmark.
Is that where Letterman was? Right? Is that the same place?
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it. Jake wants us to acknowledge his stupid T-shirt, his stupid Patriots T-shirt from God knows what year, Super Bowl champions, who knows.
Hey, where's your blurred background today? Like, blur that out.
Nah, I'm at home today, guys. We're rocking, all right? We've been chilling. It's different vibes. Gotta change up the setting, you know what I mean?
You know, the Patriots could win this thing.
They could, absolutely.
They absolutely could win this thing.
Yes. Can I point this out? I think they have an easy schedule, okay, in terms of the playoff positioning, because if you beat the Chargers, right, in that first round, you don't have to face Denver and you don't have to face Buffalo. I think you can make it to the AFC Championship game and face either of those teams. If it's Denver, you go to Mile High, good luck. If you're home, playing Buffalo at home, hard to lose to Buffalo twice at home in 1 year. Just saying.
I don't like that. I don't like that second matchup. Regardless, well, if you somehow played the Steelers, then it'd be fine. But like Texans or Bills, I don't like the second matchup regardless. But you're right. I mean, they could go. They can absolutely go. Yep. The Patriots can go.
I just don't believe, and I don't, maybe we can talk about this in a bit. But like, I'm not a firm believer of the Texans' offense. I think that defense is nasty. Like,
been
disgusting.
Listening to Kyle Madsen, yeah.
Just not a fan of the Texans offense. I think CJ Stroud is great. I don't think they have a run game. I'm not very, very impressed by their offensive line. And their only option is Nico Collins. So,
yeah. No, you're spot on.
But that's fine. Well, hold on, man. We can't switch it up now. What's that line everyone repeats every time the playoffs get here?
Defense wins championships. I understand that.
Yeah. Like,
you got to win. You got to score points to win a game. You have to.
Agreed.
Well, that could be put to the test.
Would you rather take C.J. Stroud or Drake May as your quarterback?
Well, all right, we're a little prisoner of the moment.
Yeah, like, hang on. Like, C.J.'s a good quarterback.
C.J. has won in the playoffs. Yeah, he didn't want a playoff game.
C.J.'s a good quarterback.
We ain't never seen Drake in the playoff game.
Be careful. I don't know if Drake's the MVP either. I don't know.
Yeah, this dude went to New York and literally decided to be like, you know what? We're going to hate New England, all right? God damn it. I'm done.
Says the Yankees fan.
Damian. I'm not taking the slander.
It's not slander. It's a two-person race, and it's Stafford and May. Matthew Stafford has had an incredible season. Drake May has, too. That's the race to me. I just don't know who it is.
Matthew Stafford, I will say this, has had a really good season. I'm gonna play semantics here. I'll put it to you like this: in a regular year, both of these guys ain't finished top five in the voting.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true.
In those Lamar, Patrick Mahomes years, both of these guys ain't finishing top five.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The other thing I also point out is this, okay? People are going to say the records have to come into it. New England, let's be real, have had an easier schedule this year compared to the Rams. That's easy to compare against. You know, Stafford's leading the league and passing yards.
46 and 8.
That's really good.
Whoa, what?
It's really good. It's really good. It's really good.
Nah, you're doing the thing. I know what you're doing. I've worked with you too. Don't do this. I know what you're doing.
It's really good.
I know what you're doing. And you're doing the stupid voice, which is making it worse.
I've seen him the last
Say it without your voice going up.
It's really good.
Thank you.
I just want to say that I don't think May has the same complement of players around him like Stafford does. And the fact that he's making it work with the guys that he has around him, no-name guys like Kyle Williams, like Hunter Henry, I don't think is a top five tight end. Like, you know, after you look at like Matt Collins, do you consider him a top wide receiver in the league? Like, you know, Pop Douglas, is that another top receiver in the league? I think when you look at Stafford, he has Puka, he has Devontae Adams throughout the majority of the season. Kyren Williams is an established running back, and you have one of the best offensive coordinators or offensive head coaches in the league in Sean McVay. Compared to what, you know, Drake has around him, the fact that May has the highest completion rating in the NFL and best QBR, I think says a lot.
Well, I'm gonna tell you like this right now. If that's the argument, if people are consistent, then I know for sure. Matthew Stafford better not win nothing. He better not win nothing, because in 2023, when that boy Brock Purdy was going crazy, it was all about his weapons. That's why he couldn't win. I don't even know if he finished top five in voting. It was all about his weapons. So let's not change it up now. If we're talking about the weapons, Stafford don't need to win nothing.
I think they're going to give it to Stafford, though.
Yeah,
the reason for it is because I think they're going to sit there and say Drake May is going to be able to win it somehow or another. Again.
I think Stafford, I think, fifth seed too, though. That's crazy. That is crazy.
I just think they're going to give it to Stafford and tip it and say and give extra motivation to Drake May, which will be fine when he wins the Super Bowl.
13-4, 3,700 yards, 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
That's Matthew Stafford?
Nope, that's Josh Allen last year.
Oh. Well, I didn't think he was the MVP.
Who was the MVP?
I thought it should have been Lamar.
Well, Lamar's a little harder to look up because Lamar's rushing yards are somewhere down on this page, and that kind of changes the entire conversation. But let's go back to Lamar's last MVP. Last year, Lamar.
That's what I'm saying. Lamar should have won last year.
Lamar last year was 41-72, 41 touchdowns, 41 touchdowns to 4 interceptions.
Come on.
We went over a couple of quarterbacks that threw those in one game this year.
Right. Like, look,
Geno Smith.
Lamar.
Yeah, he was one of them.
Lamar, it's not going to sound good right now, but I'm going to stay with it. Lamar, best quarterback in football.
That doesn't bother me a bit.
He's the best quarterback in football. I'll put it to you like this. Like I said at the beginning of the season, if Josh Allen had Lamar Jackson's numbers, and Lamar Jackson had Josh Allen's numbers, nobody would say Lamar is better than Josh. Nobody. If you flip their numbers,
yeah, for sure.
Nobody would say
for
that.
Sure. For sure. 915 yards on the ground last year. Is that real? Am I looking at that wrong? Nope, I'm not. 915 yards last year for Lamar Jackson. Didn't win the MVP, but All-Pro first team.
That's great. Yeah, he won All-Pro.
There you go.
He didn't win the.
There you go.
I remember that conversation.
Point in all of this, Jake. Like we like Drake. Jake, listen. I don't like the angle of this camera, man. You've got to fix this. You've got to fix this. Don't do this. That's better.
Hey, that okay. Staircase go crazy though.
This is lifestyles of the rich and famous out here in Sacramento. That's a nice little spot right there.
Thanks, friend.
Point in all of that is I think your Patriots have a chance. I don't know if Drake May is going to win this award, man, but I think Mike Vrabel, he's winning that award.
I don't think so. I don't think he's winning Coach of the Year.
Yeah, Mike McDonald will probably get it.
Mike McDonald was good last year.
Did they make
one seed fan?
I can't. I really think so.
I think they did.
I thought they just missed it. I'm trying to.
Oh, maybe they did. I thought they made it. We were looking at that. Who made it and who missed it earlier? I thought they made it.
I'm also hearing Leon Cohen is getting votes.
I mean, and he deserves it too. Like those guys. He absolutely. Yeah, I mean, but for me, I'd probably go Cohen or Vrabel over Mike McDonald. I thought Mike McDonald was terrific, but you're kind of pulling the Patriots were in a difficult spot, and the Jaguars are the Jaguars. So, you know, good for Liam Comfort turning that around the way that he did.
Yeah, I think it should be Vrabel. It should be. I think
we'll see how it comes.
Good candidates in all these categories. Jake, we can get back to football here. Seahawks didn't make the playoffs last year.
10-7 though last year.
Yeah, 10-7. Maybe I was focusing too much on the record and not the fact that they missed. Jake, we can get back to football here in a few minutes, but KC or no, it was Kyle. Kyle Madsen asked the question earlier. At this point in the season, at 8-29 now for the Sacramento Kings. Is it possible for them to have a bad loss? Because for Kyle, it felt like that loss was bad last night.
No, that's not a bad loss last night. Want to know what's a bad loss? When you get blown out by 41 in L.A. to the Clippers, and the night before you got blown out by 20 to the Lakers. Oh. And you sit there and you say you question the effort level and everything like that. Last night's loss was just being made a big deal of because he was on national television last night. Like, let's be real about that. Because he was on NBC and it was on a national audience and the Kings were up 10 and looking good through three quarters.
Well, that's what I think it is. That's what I think it is more than where the game was aired. I think it felt like they were in control for most of that game.
Yeah, and then they do what they do always do. They have a blip in the radar throughout the game, maybe a 5-minute period, and then you know, they come back down to earth and then they start playing hard again. If there's one thing that's constant about this team this year, because there hasn't been a lot of consistency whatsoever, is they will always have a 5-minute blip or a 10-minute blip or a quarter blip where they're just not locked in. And they can't play the full game to the intensity that they want to. Even in the wins this year, guys, I haven't seen them play a full game of basketball from start to finish where I've been impressed by them throughout the whole entire game. And that's just where the consistency is. It's rotations. It's who's hot, who's not. It's how the offense is working, the defense. The ratings thing is hysterical that like they're one of the worst. They're the worst team in the offensive rating and one of the worst defensive ratings. Like, you know, their net rating is by far the worst in the NBA. Like, it all makes sense because it's all clunky and dysfunctional. And, like, here's the thing that I think, like, people are holding all hope for, that a trade's going to come down. Like, guys, I don't know if they're going to even trade anybody. Like, that's the sad thing about it. Like, I think that the new type of NBA is not trading away for assets and draft picks because of this, the salary cap and everything like that. I think you might have this team for the rest of the season. There might – and if there is a trade, you know, it might be a small thing on the outside. We can talk all we want, so we're blue in the face about how many times that Zach LaVine has been, you know, connected somewhere, or DeMar DeRozan's been connected somewhere, or the latest one, Malik Monk, being connected somewhere. But this might be the team for the rest of the season, and they may not trade anybody and just try to get a draft pick at the end of the year, which is just, you know, the reality of where they are in the NBA and what Scott Perry's trying to do. And the team has no direction other than saying they want to go younger and they want to play to their six pillars. But you got to be able to play to those six pillars, you got to be able to have the people on the team that actually want to do that and believe in those pillars as well.
44 games left, maybe 45.
God.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Too many.
That's going to be hard. Yeah. Too many.
And can we cut that in half? And I don't mean 22. I mean, can we make it 4 games left or 5 games left? Whichever. I'm fine with either.
Something. Another thing that really stood out, Jake, I don't think you saw this yesterday because you might have been off. Did you watch the game, the broadcast?
Of course, I watched the broadcast.
Okay, I didn't know if you were at the arena or not. But on the broadcast, they were kind of not hyping it up, but they were just acknowledging, hey, this game is in clutch game category, and this is a clutch game. And they showed the records for the two teams in clutch games. The Kings have only had 14 clutch games. 14. I think that, what's the record? 8-28?
8-29, I believe.
29, so that's like 37 games. Only 14 of them. And they're not getting no blowouts. They're not blowing nobody out. They're not beating nobody down by 20. 14 of it. For comparison, I think the Mavericks had like 28 clutch games. They played 30-something games.
They're 14-23.
That's just... To your point, Jake, that is just a sign of like this. You've been non-competitive for the majority of your games all year long. That's unacceptable. That is completely unacceptable. Non-competitive.
And the sad thing about it is you're supposed to be having some of the best clutch players in the NBA on your roster when it comes to DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. And the fact that, you know, I know you guys are talking about this with Kyle and James at the top of the show, but like I am still perplexed. One on the two game-winning plays that they had, the one that was coming out of the timeout where DeMar was on AD, drove past him, they headed out to Dennis, and Dennis takes a three, which for me, I wish Dennis was just would pump fake and take it to the tin, because at least you can get one an easier shot, and if you have some that center step up, you have an easy lay into Max. Like I didn't like the three that he took. And then the second one was with 3 seconds left. You really, you're telling me the best shot from last night to win at the buzzer was a 1 foot 30 footer from DeMar, who's not a great 3-point shooter in general. Like, I'm perplexed. I'm completely perplexed of just how we get to this point. And the IQ is supposed to be really high for these guys because they're future Hall of Famers. And that's not a high IQ play. Like, it's just not. I don't know if you got, like, I just, when in clutch time, I think it's important to be able to drive the lane because you have much more options to either kick it out for an open three or to get fouled and go to the free throw line and hit two easy free throws. And the fact that you're taking a contested three and a 1-foot 30-footer to try to win the game, I just don't understand that whatsoever.